And we're going to look tonight once again in Genesis chapter 45. Genesis 45, and we're looking at the life of Joseph and the demonstration of favor that is seen in his life, and not just towards him, but from him towards his family. And it really is a remarkable thing to consider the life of Joseph and his responses to difficulty and the testimony that that had in the eyes of people who did not know God, in particular the Egyptian people, and their viewing of God through an individual who would act and live in a way that would show favor, kindness, graciousness, mercy towards a family that has not been merciful or kind to him. And we've learned a number of lessons in looking at the life of Joseph and how much he illustrates for us a right response. You don't always get to pick your circumstances, do you? Often, you're going to find in life, you don't get to pick a lot of your circumstances. You do get to choose your responses. You do get to choose how you will look at the circumstances, how you will respond, and most importantly, how you will see God during those times. By the way, does everyone have one of the outlines for tonight? Does anyone need one of the outlines? Oh, we've got a bunch of folks. Ethan, you can help out with that. We've got more of those in just a minute. If you'll get your hand raised up there, raise it up nice and high. We've got a couple over here, and then all the way up here in the front. And anyone else need an outline for tonight? Kathy needs one. You've got one. Sharon, did you need one? Okay. All right. You've got Genesis chapter 45. Look with me at verse number 16. We'll begin at Genesis chapter 45, looking at verse number 16. The Bible says, Genesis 45, verse 16, "And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well, and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Say unto thy brethren, This do ye, lay your beast, and go and get you unto the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, This do ye, take your wagons out of the land of Egypt, for your little ones, and for your wives, and bring your father, and come. Also, regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so. And Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, See that ye fall not out by the way. And they went up out of the land, out of Egypt, and came unto the land of Canaan, unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Father, would you teach us from your word tonight? May we be encouraged to see once again your working in hand upon this family and the impact that it would have into their future. And God, I pray that we would have an encouragement from your word tonight to see your faithfulness. And Lord, may we rejoice in the favor that we know through Christ. And Lord, may we rejoice in the fact it is not of our doing that we know that favor. It is because of your graciousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've seen up to this point Joseph's introducing himself again to his brothers who had come, and a number of times back and forth he has tested their character to find out where they are, exactly how would they treat their brother Benjamin if he was going to be kept there. And remember, they have at the end of chapter 44, we saw that great burden on the part of Judah. I can't bear to see what would happen to my father if Benjamin were kept here. Keep me instead. And out of that, Joseph reveals who he really is. And there's weeping, there's crying at the outset of that, we saw last time. And there was crying at the end of it. Look again at verse number 15. Actually, verse 14 of chapter 45. Chapter 45, verse 14 and 15. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brother talked with him. So there has been a reconnection, a reunion amongst brothers who have not always been getting along. In particular, you remember they threw their brother in a pit, wanted him dead, sold him into slavery, and now he is on the other side of this, not desiring for their harm, but desiring for their good. And he sees how that God has delivered him so that he can deliver his family, and that God has lifted him up to this position to help his family. Don't take that as a small thing that you see God's hand at work through troubles. I really just cannot emphasize that enough, that as you go through the trouble, it's easy to think, God, where are you, and what will possibly come of this? But he has seen God at work, and he's giving God the glory for it. And that portion concluded with fellowship. And I really think it's important that you see, God is interested in this family having reunion, having a connection again where things have been not where they can't, well, should be. They can be restored. You know, God loves reconciliation. Aren't you thankful that God desired to reconcile us with him through the Lord Jesus Christ? And that there is a desire on the part of God to take men who are opposed to him and turn them to those that he would both love and that would love him. That's your story if you know Christ as your Savior. That's what God's done with us. Don't take that as a small thing. And if he can reconcile us to him, can he also reconcile families? Yeah. Can he reconcile Christians to each other? Yeah. You say, why would Christians ever need reconciling? Well, why do families ever need reconciling? Because when there is selfishness, when there is self-interest, we do harm. In fact, anything that is done in the flesh causes harm, causes division. And we see that kind of turmoil all over the place in families, in marriages, and in churches oftentimes. And God's interested in doing a reconciling work. And so tonight, I want you to notice in this passage how much favor is shown over and over again. Kindness, mercy shown. There's a lot of benefits that Pharaoh is going to pour out here. But there are even benefits that Joseph is pouring out. And there are benefits that God is pouring out on Jacob, we'll see towards the end of this. And I think as you look in Scripture, and especially through the Old Testament narrative, you see over and over and over again, God showing kindness. God showing mercy. God showing mercy. God showing mercy. You know, that is a part of God's character that you ought not take as a small thing. That God shows mercy, that God shows favor on individuals. And we do well to see God's favor on Joseph and on his brothers and on his father and even on their future family, because that favor on those individuals has an impact all the way to the cross, does it not? God showing a favor in this family of Israel. Is there something future in this family of Israel that benefits you and I? The Lord Jesus Christ is connected to this family. Do you know that, church? And God's plan for the redemption of mankind was on his mind then. And so as you see God's showing kindness to this family, it's easy for us to just say, well, yeah, we know they were in Egypt, and then God delivers them, and God brings them into the promised land, and then later on Jesus is born. But all of that is God at work. All of that is God at work throughout history. So notice with me, first of all, tonight, number one in your outline, a favored family. A favored family. Look with me at verse number 16 once again. Because you see, right off the bat, Joseph demonstrating favor towards his family. In verse number 16, and the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. Now, if Joseph had wanted to, could he have made it so that Pharaoh would have never known that his brothers were there? Oh, yeah. Could he have dealt with them, got rid of them, and no one would have ever known or even had a question mark about it in the house of Pharaoh? He very well could have. He had the power to do so. Now, having the power to do something does not give you the freedom to do it. Did you know that? A lot of us think, well, if I can get away with it, why not? That is not what you see. In fact, does God have the power and the right to punish all humanity? Does he? Does he do it, though? What is it that is of God's character that prevents him from just wiping off the planet right after Adam sins? His mercy. His mercy. And it is an amazing thing how God is both righteous and just and merciful. And that Joseph sees God and what God is doing as most important. When he has, in verse 14 and 15, shown this affection towards his family, everybody else also saw it that was in his house and saw the kind of things that were going on. And the news of that travels. And I think people were sharing what Joseph did for it to get to Pharaoh's house and for his servants to hear about it. I mean, you know how people like to talk, right? Now, they didn't have social media or texting, but people probably were saying, have you heard? Joseph's family is here. And do you know what? He is excited about his family, and he is showing them great kindness and great love. He loves his family. How would someone know he loved his family? The kind of affection that he's showing here. In fact, the kind of affection that you see here, they would have known of the tears and heard of the weeping for joy. He loves them. And it's an act of that's demonstrated, Joseph's favor towards his brothers. The word kissing that's used here, and you know we're not talking about kissing him in the same way a husband might kiss his wife. What it's that word means even is the idea of attaching to, touching, hugging. Okay, if you don't really like someone, have you ever seen the expression keeping someone at arm's length? All right, you just keep them a little far away. When you're kissing on their neck and you're hugging them because you love them, guess what everyone knows around you? You really do appreciate that individual. And that might have been a shock to those people to see Joseph so attached to and interested in these people. I don't know if they all knew what had happened in the past. That really, interestingly, is not a focal point. They see how he is treating them in the present. Do you know that that's really a crucial thing? You and I are not defined in our relationship with God based upon our past. You know what we're based in our relationship upon? His view of us, his love toward us. We love him because he first loved us. He demonstrated love for us on the cross. And that is the defining element of our relationship with him. Not, you know what, I'm such a horrible, awful, rotten person and sinner. You know what I am defined as? One who he loved. One who mercy was shown to. Do you know that that's what the testimony of Joseph's brothers was? Joseph loves his brothers. And you know what the Bible says of this? Not only that he was showing favor and it was observed by others, but notice at the end of verse 16, and the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come, and it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. Now, here's the second side of that. Not only is Joseph demonstrating favor on his brothers, but secondarily, favor is shown to Joseph. By who? Who is showing favor to Joseph in the following verses? Verse 17. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do ye, lade your beast, and go get you unto the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households, and I will give you the good of the land. Okay, why is all of that kindness being shown to Joseph? Is it on the behalf or because of something that the brothers have done? Or is it because of Joseph? It has everything to do with Joseph. It has everything to do with what Joseph has done to benefit the people in Egypt. The nation of Egypt has benefited by Joseph's actions and Joseph's dependence upon God. Now, this is significant. Joseph was watched. People were watching him all the time. Can you imagine being the guy who, not out of fear of what he was going to do, but out of curiosity and amazement about how he had been used of God to deliver them. People are always watching with curiosity the person who helps. What did people do when Jesus came on the scene? Did people come out in crowds to see what was going on? There was great curiosity about Jesus and about how he was doing the things he was doing and what was going on. And I think there was curiosity around Joseph and why is he doing the things he's doing? What's going on with this? But I think people were watching, and I think you ought to remember, you have been bought with a price and people are watching you. Do you realize how much that you have an audience, even if you don't realize you do? And that shouldn't like freak you out and make you think, oh no, everyone's watching me. But it ought to actually remind you, why might people watch you? Well, you know what would be the greatest reason that people would watch? Because God has done a work in your life and you are living surrendered to him. Jesus surrendered himself to the will of who? The will of the Father. And people were watching that. Joseph surrendered himself to the will of God. Hey, you know what? I'm in Pharaoh, I'm in Potiphar's house. You know what? I'm not going to do evil because how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? I see who I belong to. And all through his time in Egypt, Joseph's direction is on what is it that God wants? How am I going to please him? And people watch that. People are observing that. And favor is shown towards Joseph as he is serving and doing the will of God. They appreciated what he had done for them, these people. And Pharaoh and his servants, there was something that they were pleased out of that. The Bible says it pleased Pharaoh well. Now, I've mentioned this a few times before. In the life of Joseph, there is a typology of Christ. Now, he is not Christ incarnate, but there are types of things that Joseph illustrates as a deliverer of his people, of the kind of care that is shown. One of the interesting types here is the kind of favor that is shown on Joseph. What was known of Jesus by God the Father? What was it that three times in the book of Matthew, in fact, it is said of Jesus, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Why was God the Father pleased with Jesus? You ever stop to think about that? Why was God the Father pleased with Jesus? Because Jesus was righteous. Because Jesus was submitted to the will and plans of the Father. Now, Joseph is not perfect in righteousness or perfect in submission to God's will. He's not perfect. He's human. But what we read in recording of him is a submission to God's plans and a righteous way of responding to people who do him unrighteously. And that stands out. That stands out immensely when you read the story of Joseph. And Jesus was spoken of as being well-pleased at his baptism in Matthew 3. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That's your Savior. God's pleased with him. Don't ever forget that. At the point when he held back his disciples to see the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah in Matthew 12, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my Spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust." And then again, on the Mount of Transfiguration at Matthew 17:5, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him.'" Okay, does Jesus have important significance as being pleasing to the Father? Yes. Yes, he does. And God's showing and demonstrating to others, to those disciples, to those at his baptism, "This is the one in whom God is pleased," was a testimony of his deity as well. God is pleased with him because in him is righteousness. That is such an important thing to consider. Jesus is the one who is well-pleasing. That Joseph was well-pleasing to Pharaoh and to the servants of Pharaoh is an illustration of this truth. Joseph was doing the will of the Father, and favor was shown. It was well-pleasing. It was something by which he was reminding those around him, this is an individual who is showing us God-likeness, God's character. And our favor with God, again, has nothing to do with our work. The favor that Joseph's family, his brothers, his father, is going to receive, had nothing to do with their efforts. None at all. It had everything to do with Joseph and the God of Joseph. I think it's an important thing to just remember. Favor can be shown on you and on me, not because of our merit. And favor is shown on us, not because of our merit. You know, and I've had conversations with people before in counseling or in other situations in sharing the gospel where people are really just caught up on this idea, I've got to try hard to make God happy. I've got to just keep trying hard, and I hope that God will be happy with me. I hope that God is happy with me for salvation. Friend, you will never earn the favor of God for salvation in anything you do of yourself. You will not. You cannot. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, the Bible says in Ephesians 2. In Titus 3, verse 5. Not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. It's out of God's mercy that we know salvation, not out of our efforts. And so that's an important thing to consider. And I should have been giving you some things to put in your notes here. And I apologize. Favor observed, letter A, favor shown. So the people saw Joseph show favor on his brothers, and then favor was shown on the part of Pharaoh towards Joseph's family and towards Joseph. And then, notice with me in verses 17 through 20, the favor that is promised. The kinds of things that Pharaoh says he is going to give them. And they are significant. In verse 17, say unto your brethren, this do ye, lade your beast, and go get you into the land of Canaan. Take your father and your households and come, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt. Okay, I'm going to give you the best that we have here. Isn't that a remarkable kind of promise? I'm not just going to give you a place to come and like just barely make it. I'm going to give you the best that we have. He goes on and says, now thou art commanded, this do ye, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. Don't worry about bringing all the stuff, like taking down the things that you have there in Canaan and bringing them here. You know what? What we have is yours. We want to show favor, and it's promised into the future. Future favor. And I think that that would have been a great encouragement. But notice the second kind of favor that's shown. Again, not only is there favor shown towards Joseph, but there is a favored fellowship seen in the relationship between Joseph and his brothers. So Pharaoh tells this to Joseph, and then Joseph in verse number 17 says to his brother, or verse number 21, and the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. So he provides for them on a physical level the provision that they would need. And notice verse 22, to all of them he gave each man changes of raiment. Okay, what are changes of raiment? Attire, clothing, and nice things at that. It wasn't just something, just a cloak just to cover them. It was a full set of things that they would need. And to Benjamin, he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. Now, this is a significant thing, all right? First of all, Joseph shared physical things from God's provision. And that was with their relationship and the hurt that has been involved there, that he is doing this. He is restoring a hurt relationship. What was it that his father had given him that had made his brothers so frustrated with him in the first place? A coat! A coat of many colors, right? I don't know, but that this is an example of just his showing kindness in returning to them all blessing, where he had received a coat which meant something special. And guess what, brothers? I'm going to give you all a coat. I don't know what the exact significance was here, but he does something for them that he doesn't have to do. Now, it could well be that he sees they are in need of a new set of clothes. Maybe they're really worn and tired from all the trips back and forth that they've made from Canaan back to Egypt, back to Canaan, back to Egypt. They may need it clothes. But in either case, he provides something for them. He is interested in giving this. And it has significance of this is valuable, this is meaningful. Just like the coat was meaningful to Joseph, and they all didn't get one like the one he got. This was meaningful to them. But it's not in the same proportion as what he will give to Benjamin. And you might note this, and I think it's a good thing to observe, when he shows favor on Benjamin, he's demonstrating something. Look at verse 27. Oh, I skipped too far. Verse 22, to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. So why did he give more? Oh, I skipped 2 things there. Why did he give more to his brother Benjamin? Well, who is favored by the father, Jacob? Benjamin is. Why is Benjamin favored? Okay, from the favorite wife, Rachel. Joseph, Benjamin are favored because of who their mother is, Rachel. Joseph's gone, Benjamin's the favored. All right, when he sends these boys back, his brothers back, he sends them back with obviously more favor shown to the favored son. You may say, well, that sounds like he's just encouraging a bad thing. No, no. He is doing something that will honor who? His father. Honoring his brother who is favored honors his father. Now, you may say, what's the spiritual significance of that? I don't know that you need to make a spiritual significance of that, but there is a help to his father that I think is significant. When the brothers come back, do they immediately believe that Joseph is alive? Does the father, I should say, believe? Does Jacob believe that the father, that Joseph is alive? No. No. But when he sees the things that have come, not just the things for him, but I think also what he sees, look, Dad, what this man, Joseph, our brother, gave Benjamin. Now, he gave us this, but look what he gave Benjamin. Okay. You know what that would have said to the dad? That is my son. That is my son who knows I love Benjamin and now isn't a threat of taking Benjamin, as we saw earlier in his mind. He is actually showing that he knows how much I love this one. And so there is a physical favor shown to all the brothers, which I think is important. It isn't just that, you know what, I'm just going to show favor to Benjamin. He shows favor to the entire family. But he shows specific favor to Benjamin, I believe, to honor his father. And notice with me a second part of this, not just the physical, but he shares wisdom from God. You know, a friendship, and I think important in our fellowship and friendship with each others, is not just giving physical things. You ought to do things physical for others. You ought to help someone when they need some help putting up something or working on something, go and help them physically. That's all good. But you ought give spiritual wisdom to those that are your friends and to those that are in your family. And I will tell you that if you help someone on a physical, it really does help open the door for sharing things on the spiritual. You ever notice that? You share truth with your neighbor, but you never help them. Okay, that may be good that you're sharing truth, but I do believe that there is a cohesion that exists between our helping people in relationships by helping them both physically and with spiritual truth. And I think you ought not just say, well, I'll just share the gospel with them, but I'm not going to lift a finger to help them. No, he's giving of himself to be a blessing to his brothers physically, but he's also doing something spiritually. In verse 24, notice what he says at the end of that. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. Now, what does it mean to fall not out by the way? Like, fall off the road, or fall out? You ever heard of someone saying having a falling out? What does it mean to have a falling out with someone? A fight, an argument, a challenge, some kind of conflict. Now, it could have been that he's pointing out a conflict within themselves. If they wondered to themselves, will this really happen? If we come back with Father, what's he going to do to us? Could they have had a fear of what might happen to them in the future and not trust their brother? Sure, that could have been the thought. And you know what? What if on their way home they decide, you know what? I'm just going to take off with my family and we're going to go over here and do our own thing, because I don't know what our brother may do to us. That would have been a problem. He is encouraging them to come back. He's encouraging them not to get into some kind of conflict, perhaps themselves. I think that the point might be, well, their conflict with each other. Why did you do this to our brother? You know what? Why did you do this? Why did you do this? Wouldn't that have been a natural thing for brothers to get into? And they're on a long walk back, and they've got time to think. Guess what they might start doing with each other? Playing the blame game. This is your fault, Reuben. This is your fault, Judah. This is your fault. Why didn't you stand up? Well, I thought about it. And they could just go back and forth. They could even get upset with Benjamin. You know what they would be doing if they got caught up in that instead of rejoicing in the spiritual truth that they've been shown mercy? You know what would be a sad thing? When they got home, they would be angry with each other, not rejoicing. Now, I don't know about you, but our life is very short, very brief, like that, and it's over. And it is really a waste for you to be in relationships and not in your interaction with other Christians or other people to be caught up in just constant frustrations and irritations rather than rejoicing in the mercy that you've been shown. Can't that happen? I mean, couldn't somebody be married to the person that they love but irritated all the time with them? How sad! Or have children and they're irritated with their kids, but they do love them, but they're irritated all the time. Or other believers that they come to church with and every week they see, but inside they're a little irritated, a little frustrated. Fall not out, by the way. I don't know all the significance that that had, but I do believe it's in Scripture for us because Joseph was imparting to them advice, counsel, and it was spiritual. It was wisdom from God. Does this family need to stick together in God's plan? Yeah. God's plan is for this family to continue and grow and be a great nation for God's glory. And you know what? Something like this, a little bit of advice, I believe was important for them. Hey, remember what Joseph said? He said, don't fall out, by the way. You ever been reminded by something that your parent, you know, you're with your brothers and sisters when you're young, and you say, hey, remember what mom said? We better not do this or that. Hey, remember what dad said? Hey, remember what pastor said? Hey, remember what, and you've got some counsel, some godly instruction or advice, and you just remind yourself of that. Isn't that valuable? I think it's more valuable than physical things to have spiritual truths that we share with ourselves and we share with others when conflicts want to stir up. And so that was a little bit longer on that point, but I really think it's a valuable one. He gave them something that would help them in their friendship, in their fellowship with each other. And I think that that's a favor, a kind of mercy that we ought to show. We ought to show mercy in helping people with physical things, but I do believe you need to show mercy in giving and sharing with people on things that have eternal weight and value. And wisdom is something that's connected with that. In fact, I would just point out to you, mercy and truth. Have you ever noticed in Scripture how many times you'll see mercy and truth in the book of Proverbs? Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. You give someone truth, but you give it with mercy, and you encourage them to keep it. Don't let it be gone from you. You need them together. You need both. And you see Joseph sharing that. And then finally, number three, a favored father. And we'll move through this quickly. In verse 25, all the way into chapter 4, verse 6, the brothers come back to their father. And initially, look at verse 26. And I should have shared with you, you might have got the outline there. Joseph shared physical, he shared wisdom, and then a favored father, a man whose faith has been tested. Has Jacob had times where he might have wondered, what's God doing? Oh, yeah. Remember when his brother is on the way, and he's wondering, am I about to get whacked? And I've always marveled at this. His great faith. Let me put all the people I don't like out in front of this whole crowd first, and if he whacks them, okay, then the rest of us can get away. I mean, just, that's not great faith. Would you agree? It seems very weak. Okay. And then God restores that relationship. I mean, it's amazing how that ended up with Esau. But then the whole situation with this brother Joseph, or the son Joseph and the brothers, when's the last time recorded for us that God has spoken something to Jacob that we have written? Now, you might think of the time where he spoke to him at the stone, and he's sleeping there, and the going up into heaven, the ladder there, Jacob's ladder. And you might even point out, and I think this is significant, the dreams of Joseph, did they have impact on the father? They did. How did the father respond to the dreams of Joseph? Did he like it? No. Did he think a little bit poorly of Joseph for sharing it? And you can correct me if I've missed something, but it doesn't seem that there's any communication that's in Scripture for us from God to Jacob until you get to chapter 46. Now, let me ask you something. If you know something from God, but you don't listen to it, will that encourage you or discourage you in the future? You'll find discouragement if you know what God says, but you mock at it, laugh at it, regard it small, don't listen to it. And guess what? You're going to live a lot of doubts and fears and frustrations in that because you aren't living in truth. When you live in truth, you have something to anchor yourself to. When you live in, well, here's what I think, here's what I want. I don't really like your dream, Joseph. Well, where did the dreams come from? They came from God. And the family is getting to see that that obviously was the case. Notice with me in verse 26, at the end of it, when the brothers tell him, Dad, he's yet alive, he's the governor over all the land of Egypt, and Jacob's heart fainted, and he believed them not. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe it, okay? His faith is being tested. So your next blank there, a man whose faith has been tested. And he is frustrated, he's not believing, and perhaps he has experienced his son's being deceptive and knows that they're not always telling the truth. Now, he may not know the deception about Joseph, but do you think that these brothers might have had a lying problem? Quite possibly. How does that impact your declaration of truth when you have a problem telling the truth? I don't believe you. Guys, really, come on. This is the best one you've told yet, and I don't believe this. There's no way what you just told me is true. Until he sees the things that have come, and Jacob's faith is challenged. But notice with me, at the end of this, verse 46, chapter 46, verse 5, and Jacob rose up from Beersheba after the Lord speaks to him and says, the sons of Israel carried Jacob, their father, and their little ones and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took him, took their cattle and their goods, which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him. And you know, Jacob's life needs to be settled upon truth. And God speaks to him at the beginning of chapter 46 and tells him, you don't need to be afraid. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make thee a great nation. God says something. Here's the truth. You can believe this. He sees the provisions, and he believes it. And I would just point out to you, a man who believes God and enjoys the blessings is what you see at the end of Jacob's life. Now, when faith is challenged, and I mentioned this earlier, God's favor, mercy, is connected with truth. And do you know that he has heard the expression mercy and truth in the family narrative up before this? In Genesis 24, verse 27, the Bible says, and this is when his grandfather has sent a servant to go find a wife for Isaac, his father. Remember what the servant said? in Genesis 24, 27. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." Isn't that amazing? Mercy and truth. He's not been left destitute of those two things. Mercy and truth. All through the book of Psalms, you see that statement. "I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds." Psalm 86, verse 15. "But thou, O Lord, art a great God, full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." Now, do you always see what God is doing? No. But do you know God is true? Yeah. You know God is true. He has given us promises, and his mercy and his truth go hand in hand. And in our life, as we go through challenges, rejoice in the favor that God has shown in the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth that connects us to future blessings. You know, it is very easy for us to just look at the present and wonder, how good is God in this present moment, when you are not looking at the right thing? You may think this is not good, but you are getting your eyes off of what is future and is true. Is God still good even in the midst of difficulty in the present? Absolutely he is. Absolutely. Joseph's wealth and abundance in Egypt means nothing to Jacob in Canaan if he doesn't believe it. You know, he could have died in Canaan, a very unhappy man. But he believed, and he acted upon that belief, and he went down to Egypt, and he sees his son, and they're reunited. And it's an amazing story of God's working. We'll pick up in this, Lord willing, next week. But I just am amazed at how much Scripture emphasizes this matter of favor and the kind of favor that is shown in a family and the kind of restoration that God brought to them.